Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. We'll read verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they?" Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It's nice to have a good old familiar scripture, I think. After we've read the string of those difficult passages and all the hard ones, and we've had to figure out what they might mean and what all we're supposed to do with them, it's nice to have a nice, easy scripture. One that we're familiar with. I remember hearing and seeing and reading this passage in one of the children's Bibles with the particular illustration. I can still see it in my mind. The foreigners going off and running away, their bandages falling from their skin as they're healed, and the one that's sort of stopped and turning back and making his way back to Jesus. This is a familiar scripture. And it's pretty straightforward. We're to have this attitude of gratitude. Have you heard people say that before? Have an attitude of gratitude. We're supposed to be thankful for all the things in which we have been blessed and that God has given us. There's no deep secret with this scripture. And I'm not setting you up to be like, "Oh, that's what you thought, and here's the hard part." It's a straightforward, simple scripture. It is a good reminder of all the blessings that we have been given and that we are to be thankful and to have that gratitude for all that God has given to us. And so there's no difficulties with it, but we'll go back through the scripture and try to find the depth of that meaning. Because with things that are so familiar and so straightforward and so simple, they often feel easy to brush aside because they are that simple and that straightforward. So I'll remind you that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. In the Gospel of Luke, somewhere around chapter 9-ish or 10-ish in there in the middle, Jesus sets his face towards Jerusalem. Everything from that point forward is Jesus on his way to not only Jerusalem, but the cross that is waiting in Jerusalem. Jesus, from that point on, has somewhere to be. He has a mission. The finality of his ministry is in Jerusalem. And we're reminded once again that this is on that path. You'll see, if you look down a little bit farther, Jesus is very close to Jerusalem. He's almost there. And anytime, if you've ever been on a trip or had this task that you're trying to accomplish, when you get down to it, there's this energy and this anxiety. We're almost there. It's about time. And I imagine that energy is permeating through Jesus and his followers. We're almost there. But Luke is very specific about where they are. They're in this region between Samaria and Galilee. Now, I think it's important to remind ourselves about those Samaritans. Every time, I like talking about the Samaritans, because every time it comes up, I've got to be like, "You remember the Samaritans?" And if we're honest, the answer is no. I have no idea what a Samaritan is, or why it's important that Luke points out that this person that came back is a Samaritan. So let's remind ourselves of those Samaritans. The Samaritans are like that weird cousin. You're related to them. They know all the family secrets, but you don't like them. Ugh. I'm not from around here. I hear people talk about Eastern Kentucky folks, and like, I'm going to be careful because I'm not from around here. I don't really know. But there's like, you know, they're a little off. Eh. I'm going to keep going because I can tell I'm in trouble. There's some daggers coming out of eyeballs around here. I'm trying to come up with an example. But there's this deep hatred. When the kingdom split, and by kingdom I mean Israel, biblical Israel. You remember David with his little sling? King David, Solomon after that, they ruled over a united kingdom. After that, the kingdoms split. There was a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. It was the northern kingdom that would fall first. Those folks became the Samaritans. This close family split because their rulers could not work with one another. They split. And over time, that animosity continued to build and to build and to build. Not only is that animosity there, but they worship wrong. The temple is in Jerusalem in the southern kingdom. That's God's house. That's where God lives. If you're going to worship God, you go to the temple. But they're not a part of that community. They're not a part of that country, that kingdom. So they don't go, these Samaritans don't go to the temple to worship God. They set up their synagogues in their own places to worship God. Now they're worshiping God as best that they can, but to the Israelites, it's wrong. God is in the temple. And so if you're worshiping at a synagogue or somewhere in your own hometown, whatever you're worshiping isn't God. And so this close family, we used to be related, they're not even worshiping God the right way. Oh, they hate each other. But the Samaritans feel like they're doing it right. And they're looked down upon by these Israelites. And so this hatred builds and builds and builds. Eventually, the southern kingdom falls. They go into exile in Babylon. And then they come back. And they reestablish the temple. God's house is rebuilt. But these Samaritans are still worshiping wrong. This family that used to be ours is worshiping wrong. This is blasphemy. We cannot be around them. Awful. This deep hatred builds and builds and builds. And so anytime Jesus comes into contact with them, remember Jesus is doing things differently and turning the world upside down. Jesus does not interact with these Samaritans and these folks from Samaria the same way. Jesus offers healing. The Good Samaritan is the hero of that parable. Jesus sees these Samaritans as good and worthy of his grace and forgiveness and mercy. These foreigners, these folks that should be hated and sent back from where they came, not a part of our group, Jesus welcomes them. This is, in fact, the first time that Jesus begins to spread his ministry out. It's not simply for his Jewish brothers and sisters. It grows bigger and bigger. Jesus begins with those Samaritans reaching out and trying to bring them in and offer his blessings and ministry to them as well. Later, after Jesus' death, the apostles will go further, not only to the Samaritans, but to the other Gentiles and even on into Rome. And then we eventually show up here on our shores. That is the story of Acts, as those apostles spread Jesus' ministry and gospel further and further. But it begins with Jesus and the Samaritans. Jesus reaches out to bless them. So it's important to recognize that these are those Samaritans. That it is a foreigner, someone who is not a part of Jesus' in-group. Not only are they as a nation, as a people outside, but they have this leprosy. Now, leprosy is still a thing that exists. It's It's a skin disease. I think we decided it was a bacterial infection these days. And I surprised the Sunday school by pointing out that armadillos have leprosy. And this is important because there's beginning to be more armadillos in Kentucky. Now, they're in western Kentucky, so we'll step in it on that side of the state, too. I stepped in it earlier with the eastern folks. Western Kentucky has all of this leprosy-carrying armadillos now. So you got to watch out when you're traveling about. Leprosy is this very contagious skin disease, and we have a very specific example of what it is today, but back in Jesus' time, leprosy was a catch-all for any sort of skin disease, any sort of problems with the skin, particularly those that were very contagious. And so any time there is a contagious disease, you send those folks out. Isolate them. We don't want to catch what you've got, and not only is it contagious, but it looks gross and painful and harmful. So be gone. Leave. And so these folks that are experiencing this leprosy are out in the wilderness. This isn't just the back alley in the city. They are out in this wilderness, and Jesus comes upon them, and they call out, "Show mercy on us. Have mercy, Jesus, Master." Not only are they foreigners, are they outside the community, but they've got this leprosy. They cannot even be with their own families. So they're alone. They've banded together these 10 in order to help themselves survive. And Jesus says, "Go and show yourself to the priest." Now, the priest is the one that had the final sign-off on being healed and going back to your community. You're sent away, you're sent out into the wilderness to be away from everyone. If you want to come back and be a part of us, those priests have to make sure that you're healed. Not the physician, by the way, but the priest has to make sure that you're clean. Jesus sends them out, "Go and talk to the priest." And on their way, they're made clean. What an act of faith to have this leprosy, this painful skin disease, to be so ostracized and far from your home and your community, to call out to Jesus, "Have mercy on us." And he tells you, "Go, you're healed." And then to turn to make their way back. Because it says, as they went, they're made clean. Do you hear the act of faith? It is on the way to the priest that they're made clean. I think I'd want to sit around and wait for a little while to make sure I was actually clean. But they start their walk back into the city, back into the place to find the priest. And on their way, their wounds are healed. Incredible. And one out of the 10 finally recognizes this goodness and turns to go back to praise Jesus and to be thankful. Prostrating himself, throwing himself on the ground in front of Jesus' feet, praising God with a loud voice, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." But Jesus wanders aloud. We're not there 10, yet only one has come back. So then he says, "Get up, go on your way, your faith has made you well." What a peculiar thing to say. Your faith has made you well. He's already been cleansed. His leprosy has already gone away. How is it his faith from coming back to be thankful made him well? The other 9 are still leprosy free. They're also clean. Why is this one made well by his faith? We have wounds that are deeper than just our skin, don't we? Our outside, our physical bodies can be made well and healed and fine. But there are those deeper wounds and those deeper things that often ail us. I think this is the power of this scripture. We can heal our bodies. We can go to the doctors. We can get our antibiotics and our vaccines. We can be made well in our bodies. But there is a deeper thing that often needs healing. In this scripture and these examples of these lepers, the important aspect of that is gratitude. There is something that being thankful, that praising God, recognizing and calling out the blessings that we have, heals deeper in us. Now, the other 9 lepers are still cleansed. I'm not trying to scare you into your blessings are going to go away if you don't say thank you to God. You don't actually have to write thank you notes. I learned you might not get as many nice things. I don't remember writing all the thank you gifts, the thank you notes for the gifts for the wedding. Maybe that's why I'm divorced and it didn't work out. I don't know. They don't come and take the gifts back if you don't write the thank you notes. God does not remove our blessings if we're not thankful. But there is a deeper healing and blessings that come when we show our gratitude. When we express our thanks and our reliance on God, there is that deeper wellness that comes with it. It's easy to parade back, to go to the priest and go back home and to celebrate, to be thankful in that way, back into the presence of our old lives. I'm sure these 9 are actually thankful. I'm sure that they were expressed the incredible story of Jesus healing them to the priest and to their families when they showed up back at the house and they said, How are you made clean? I'm sure there was that gratitude and that thankfulness. But this one has explicitly shared it with Jesus. And he's made well on a deeper level. So I don't feel like I often give homework. I'm going to give you a little homework. I have a parent-teacher conference with Madeline's teacher on Tuesday, so that's probably where my mind's at. It was a pre-scheduled one. She's not in any trouble. So let me give you a little homework. What are those things that you're thankful for? I was kind of surprised the kids had a little bit of a hard time expressing that. That was a little shocking to me. And then I got to thinking, I was like, well, what am I thankful for? It can be difficult. So I'd invite you to spend some time this week exploring those things, those blessings that you are thankful for. Not only just acknowledging them and being aware of them, but finding ways to thank God for them. What are some ways that we can show our gratitude and our thanks to God? Oftentimes we can share those blessings with others. That is a great way to share and express our thankfulness. Other times we can just be aware of them and to acknowledge them, like this one that came back. But I invite you to spend some time this week, make a list if you need to, speak them out loud, come up with those things that you are thankful for, that you're grateful for, and find ways to express to God that gratitude. Amen.